Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska, and this is a rebroadcast of April 8th's edition of Speak Up on Alaska, the KUCB Public Affairs Call-In Show. I'm your host, Ann Hillman, and we had a guest, Representative Bryce Edgemond. We will not be accepting calls during this rebroadcast, and if you miss any part of it, you can hear it online at www.kucb.org. Here's the edition from April 8th. Representative Edgemond, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. We have a beautiful day down here in Juneau, blue skies and a little bit of ground fog, and welcome the opportunity to spend a few minutes with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving us your time. For everybody who would like to call in with any questions you might have for Representative Edgemond, the number is 581-1888. Again, it's 581-1888. And otherwise, let's go ahead and get started with some questions people have already asked. So, Representative Edgemond, the big news today is the almost $2 billion capital budget. What do you think about the size and scope of this budget?
Well, that's the topic of debate today here in Juneau, and it's going to be the dominant topic from here on out, with session expected to end as scheduled on April 18th. And $2 billion worth of capital projects, about $1 billion of it being federal dollars, the other billion being state-funded projects. And it's going to be an interesting debate going forward, because if you go back a couple of years and look at the size of the capital budgets we've had, absent the stimulus dollars from last year, we really, you know, last year didn't have a capital budget. There was very little state money that went into the budget. So with the state, you know, for the seventh year in a row having surplus monies and having over $12 billion in savings accounts and having paid off its debt to the Constitutional Budget Reserve, I think there's a feeling amongst a great many legislators that now is an opportunity to sort of catch up on a bunch of capital projects statewide. And, you know, how it materializes with the governor, of course, and the House agreeing with the Senate, again, will be the big topic the last 10 days of session.
What's your personal take on it?
Well, we've got a lot of good projects in there for our district, and so I'm definitely supportive of keeping the budget the way it is. And, you know, for Onalaska, we've got over $7 million for both the power plant and the water treatment facility. And so I'm pretty excited about that, and we're going to do everything we can to keep that money in the budget.
And how exactly secure is it? Is there a chance any of that money could be removed, or is it definitely in there?
Well, the way the capital budget process works, I guess I'll step back for just a second, is that the governor provides a capital budget to the legislature, and he does that in December. That's a constitutional requirement. And then generally towards the latter stages of the session, the legislature takes the governor's capital budget and sort of reworks it using the governor's budget as a starting point. And the governor proposed a much more modest capital budget and has been telling the legislature that his appetite for capital spending is not where the legislature's appetite is. So in terms of the security of the projects in the budget, I would say at this point that from the legislature standpoint, it's pretty good, and that there'll be great emphasis on continuing negotiations with the governor.
Okay. So exactly, with all the requests that Onalaska put forth, how was the money for those specific projects selected? For example, there's $1.2 million or so going towards chemical storage, but nothing going towards Ballyhoo paving. How was it decided which projects went in and which didn't?
Well, we worked closely with Mayor Mark Wart and City Manager Laddick, and we've had occasion to visit with them on a couple of visits that they've made down here, did some really good work in terms of helping us get support for those projects. And so we worked closely with the city delegation and basically, you know, sort of followed their leads in terms of what, you know, if we had to narrow the priority list down, which, you know, it's a conversation we go through with every community in the district, you know, what projects would you like to see at the top of the list? And those are some of the projects that that we decided that we would attempt to get funding for.
Okay. So can the state afford this size of a capital budget in the long run?
Well, great question. That's in some ways a question of philosophy, because the state right now has the most it's ever had in savings accounts, well over $12 billion, and probably going to put some more into the savings accounts. With oil inching up to almost $90 a barrel, you know, we're looking at another healthy year of state general funds into the Treasury. But on the other side of the argument, and this is where the governor is going to come in, and the more conservative members of the legislature, is that oil production from the North Slope is declining steadily year in and year out, and that the long-term picture for Alaska is much more precarious than the short-term picture of having a records amount and savings account. And so we're going to, somewhere in between those competing philosophies, we're going to find a balance. And my expectation, I guess I go a little bit out on a limb and say that we will leave Juneau with a fairly healthy capital budget, and that, you know, a good many of our priorities will stay intact.
Okay. So on along the subject of funding, a listener wrote in yesterday to thank you for helping secure funding to get 2 ferry runs per month for at least this year and early next year. She wants to know if the runs are definitely in the budget and how you helped secure the funding.
Well, the $2.2 million for that year's worth of additional ferry service is in the what's called the supplemental budget. And that budget has passed the House and it's in the Senate Finance Committee, and we're very comfortable and we're confident in that budget making its way to the governor's office. I have talked with Mayor Mark Ward and others throughout the district asking for additional letters of support, this time to the governor's office, in anticipation that he will have the opportunity to either approve the money or disapprove the money. And certainly, you know, to the listener who wrote the question, and it's a great question, and we're very, you know, personally I'm very excited that we got the money into the budget, and even if it's for just a year, it's an excellent start, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure that that extra ferry service happens.
Okay, another person would like to know what exactly is going to happen with the Marine Advisory Programming funding this year.
Well. Yeah, sort of another long story there, but to just sort of encapsulate the session-long discussion on the MAP program, we have got about half of the funding request. The likelihood is we'll get about half of the funding request through the legislature this session, and that through the university system, we will work to get the other half of the approximately $600,000 it's going to take to fund those 6 positions throughout the state. And that's, you know, where things, for the most part, will stand at session's end. The bigger picture in all of this, of course, is to find a long-term stable funding source for the Marine Advisory Program so we don't have to go through this give and take every session. And, you know, for folks like Reed Brewer and Isetta Chambers up in Dillingham and others who are in the MAP program, that they don't have to fear for the future of their jobs. So I definitely plan to, along with Senator Hoffman, have conversations with the School of Fishery Sciences and the university system and do our best to try to get this program higher profile and more importance within the university budget submission to the legislature.
All right. And we have just had a call in from, actually, Shirley Marquardt, the mayor. She says that you've been working to keep the CDL exemption for rural Alaska in place. And if you have an update, although Unalaska isn't actually technically in the exemption, is it?
Could you repeat that, please?
She wants to know if there's an update with the CDL situation.
No definite update other than to say that my office has coordinated with the Bush caucus to send a letter to both to the Department of Transportation and a letter back east to our congressional delegation, sort of amplifying the importance of this issue. You know, we've got a one-year reprieve, if you will, and this is one of those sleeper issues that unless it's highlighted, could really have a tremendous impact on our local communities, in the sense that if we had to fly people out to get their CDL driver's license, that would be a huge infringement upon you know, local operators of school buses, of heavy equipment, of, you know, anything that requires a CDL license.
Okay. When I spoke with the people over at the licensing branch of the DMV, they said that they actually are working to try to get someone out here to see if it's possible to simulate all the test requirements. So it sounds like from there, and they are working to make it possible to get official CDLs here instead of having to travel to Anchorage. So hopefully with your support, they'll keep working towards that goal. So thank you. She also wants to thank you for your support of the MAP program funding and supporting the Ferry Cervix extension. So thanks for...
Well, I would like to return the gratitude, if you will, by thanking her for all of her work as a representative on the Marine Transportation Advisory Board, known as the MTAB board, that advises the Department of Transportation and ultimately the legislature on the priorities for the Marine highway system, and that the Southwest increased ferry runs for Southwest Alaska was the number one recommendation out of the MTAB board, thanks largely to Mayor Marquardt. And with that push, we were able to really to make it a bigger issue here in the legislature. So I really appreciate all the work that she's doing and certainly that the city is doing to promote the priorities of the community.
There were a couple other questions emailed in yesterday as well. Someone else is curious about federal funding for the fiber optic cables. A project is going to Bristol Bay, and a different project may link Unalaska directly to Asia and Europe, but not to the lower 48. Can you do anything to help connect Unalaska to faster internet?
Good question. What I can say is there's no funding stream in the current budget for that project. And as far as I know, I don't really know that there's a huge effort to get money into the existing capital budget. Certainly, if this comes around next session, you know, obviously we will make it a big priority. But at this point, I think the short answer is to say that it's not really part of the discussions down here relative to this year's capital budget.
Is there anything you can do to try to support getting federal funding towards the Northern Fiber Optic Link project?
Well, absolutely. You know, in terms of advocating, communicating with our delegation, we would be more than pleased to weigh in on that. And I think the the Mayor Marquardt and the city, I'm sure, have had this on their list of discussion items when they go back east. And so we will definitely be part of that discussion down the road.